public defender, appellant counsel, Leah A. Garin, senior assistant attorney general for the Commonwealth.
You may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Lauren Woodley with the Richmond Public Defender's Office on behalf of Thomas Turner. I would request to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right. Did you say three or a few?
Three, Your Honor.
Three. Two?
Three.
I apologize. Well, you've been sitting here for a while, and as you can tell, sometimes I don't even have control over that.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Much
thank
less
you.
Yes,
sir. I want to begin with this statement. The plain language of Virginia Code 9.1-902 does not require that all out-of-state sex offenders register as violent sex offenders in the Commonwealth of Virginia. 9.1-902 is a definitions statute. It defines who has to register under Virginia's sex offender registry and what those categories for registration mean. Subsection A of that statute establishes six broad categories of individuals who are required to register. The last two under that subsection, numbers 5 and number 6, speak to individuals who have been convicted out of state of sex offenses or who have to register as sex offenders out of state and their requirements to register in Virginia. However, nothing in subsection A specifically informs those out-of-state registrants what of the four categories, criminal homicide, murder, violent sex offense, or nonviolent sex offense, they have to register under in Virginia.
Under what?
So the subsections number 5 and number 6 right. that speak to out-of-state registrants, nothing about that tells them specifically, this is under the broad subsection A, which of the four prior categories they have to register as. So it doesn't say you have to register as someone convicted of criminal homicide or as someone convicted of murder.
But isn't the lack of direction part of the problem that you have? Subsection 6 says, with respect to crimes in other jurisdictions, the relevant categories are, and then to go down to 5 and 6, and 6 says any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minor registry is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, in Idaho, he satisfied that.
He did have to register in Idaho okay. as a sex offender, yes, sir.
All right. So if you look, if Category 6 applies, then he's automatically classified as a violent sexual offender by operation of 902F(2), which provides a definition. Sexually violent offense, as defined in this section, includes any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minors registry is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted. Now, I add one, and I add another one, and I get two, and I'm not sure you go any further than that. Why is that incorrect?
And I, respectfully, Your Honor, I do disagree. I think the first category that Your Honor was referring to, number 6 under subsection A, is a broad category. We're just saying because the title of that is offense for which registration is required. These are the six categories of offense that we require individuals to register for in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And they speak to the specific offenses, criminal homicide, murder, sexually violent offense, any offense listed in subsection B, and then two categories broadly for individuals who are out of state. For example, someone convicted of a crime similar to the first four categories who's been convicted out of state, or someone broadly who has been required to register out of state. So that is certainly Mr. Turner. He is required to register out of state in Idaho. What those two categories don't provide, and this is what our argument is, subsection F clarifies, is which four of those categories do they register under when they've been required to register out of state.
But that, see, now, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're trying to do, it seems to me, is to substitute what Idaho says about what is a sexually violent offense and have it trump what Virginia says is a sexually violent offense for the purpose of this act. And I'm repeating it. Sexually violent offense is any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minors registry is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted. And I think you've already indicated that it is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted. Why do we go any further than that to determine whether or not this is a case to be affirmed or reversed?
And, Your Honor, I don't mean I want to make sure I understand Your Honor's question correctly. Is the court citing from subsection F when it refers to any sexually violent offense is any offense?
Yes.
Okay. And so I think the problem there is when the language is used in that way, which is how the Court of Appeals used it, it is omitting language from subsection F that is necessary under the plain language reading of that subsection. So okay. I would respectfully disagree that that's a plain reading.
We'll develop that.
Right. So what our position is subsection F is clarifying if you do have to register out of state, say, for example, for contributing to the delinquency of a minor as a sexually violent offender. Subsection F says you would then have to register in Virginia as a sexually violent offender. Your registration classification in your home state of conviction under subsection F and number 6 under subsection A dictates how you register in Virginia. So if there was evidence in this record that Mr. Turner was required to register out of state as a sexually violent offender for his Idaho conviction, then he would be required to register in Virginia.
So if that is, of course, your argument, why is that not just adding a qualifying phrase, as the Chief's questions are focusing you on, to F2? So instead of it saying F2 and saying any offense for which registration is required, which is repetition of the same sentence in A, it seems like you're saying, no, we should understand that it's really saying any sexually violent offense in the foreign jurisdiction, right?
And I apologize. I think maybe I'm not being clear about our position. What I'm saying is that little I-2 clarifies that any offense listed in subsection B, as defined in this section, includes any offense for which registration under subsection B would be required in the home state. Criminal homicide, as defined in this section, includes any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minors registry would be required in the home state. So it's clarifying those subcategories. So rather than adding that single sentence under every single broad category under subsection A, the legislature chose to establish subsection F, which tells an out-of-state registrant how to register here in Virginia.
Rather than adding which sentence, counsel? Read, you're saying rather than add the sentence to A?
Yes, ma'am.
So read A as you think it should be read, which is shorthand in F?
Sure. So our position is what the legislature could have done in the alternative is state, offense for which registration is required includes, number one, any offense listed in subsection B, semicolon, any offense similar to an offense listed in subsection B, semicolon, or any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minors registry is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted for an offense listed in subsection B. And so those little I and little I-2 under subsection F are simply telling out-of-state registrants which of those four broad categories to register under. And the plain language, the way that the Court of Appeals has presented it, and what some of the questions...
Counselor, how does it tell you which one you're supposed to register under? Because it seems like to me, little 2I applies to every single one of those definitions.
That's right. So if you, in the sense of, if you were required to register out of state for a conviction for criminal homicide, or for a conviction for a sexually violent offense, as categorized by your out-of-state registration registry in Idaho, you would be required to register in Virginia as a sexually violent offender. So if Mr. Turner had been required to register in Idaho as a sexually violent offender, if his sentencing order said you are required to register as a sexually violent offender, and evidence was introduced at his trial, then he would have been required to register in Virginia as a sexually violent offender.
Well, that would be a great way to write the statute, but as the Court of Appeals points out, it doesn't seem to be written that way. It seems to be written to have a very broad F2 category, any offense. But it would be very easy to have said any offense in the foreign jurisdiction which under the foreign law qualifies as a sexually violent offense. That would be so easy, and we go, okay, good point. It would make a lot of sense, actually, in terms of policy, but It just doesn't say it, and that's the problem you've got to overcome, is it appears to not say it.
And, Your Honor, I would actually posit that what the Court of Appeals position is contrary to the plain language as well. And there's two things I would point to in the statute. One being that under the specific definition of sexually violent offense under subsection E, there is no mention of individuals who have to register out of state being defined as sexually violent offenses in state. And that seems to be an omission from the General Assembly. If that was their intent, they would have included that specific language in that very thorough definition of sexually violent offense under subsection E. Number two is that the way that the Court of Appeals has presented that subsection F means that an individual would have to register as all four categories, because those two subsections would apply to every category. So they would have to register, if you have to register out of state, you would have to register here as someone convicted of murder, someone convicted of criminal homicide, is someone convicted of an offense under subsection B, which is a nonviolent offense, or someone convicted as a violent offender. And that's problematic because the registration requirements are different and the penalties are different. So someone convicted of criminal homicide only has to register once a year. Someone convicted of murder has to register every 90 days. Failing to register as someone convicted of criminal homicide is a misdemeanor for the first offense. Failing to register as someone convicted of murder is a felony.
When you apologized earlier for not being clear, that's not being clear. It's that it seems to me the statute is a hopeless muddle. And we're just trying to figure out
right. Something.
One thing maybe you can help me with, did you consider an argument, I know it's not in the briefs, under the Privileges or Immunities Clause? Because that's the provision of the Constitution that says, you know, you can't treat out-of-staters differently. I don't know how that shakes out at all in this case. And the court has put a gloss on that, and it's complicated to get into on the fly. But I just wondered about that, because you could have a very minor, under the Commonwealth's interpretation, very minor, you know, touching or something that certainly isn't appropriate, it's criminal. And in your home state, you would have a certain regime. But, boy, you come to Virginia, and it's the most onerous, registration regime. So it seems like there's a distinction between out-of-staters and Virginians. I didn't know if there was any potential issue there, and if you'd consider that angle.
I haven't, to be candid with the court, but I would point out that the Court of Appeals did address the one case I was able to find around this issue. Johnson against Commonwealth did deal with someone who was not required to register at all in North Carolina, but was required to register here in Virginia. So I would think that that type of struggle would have been the same in that situation as well.
Because it's one thing to say, look, you know, we're going to treat you the same as a Virginian. A Virginian would have to register for this crime, and here's the regime. Well, you're out of state. Oh, that's a different kettle of fish, and everybody has to register, you know, under this 90-day provision, even though a Virginian would not, and it could be even a statutorily identical crime.
Right. And I think that would be a difficulty with that interpretation of the statute as possible.
What's potential? I just don't know. I mean, the court is really, anyway, I've said enough on that.
Right. And I think that is one of the things. I see I've gone into my rebuttal time. If
go
I could preserve the rest
of
it, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Leah Darin for the Commonwealth. Justice McCullough, I would just like to begin very quickly by talking about your question about the Privileges and Immunities Clause and there being a difference between what Virginia requires and what out-of-state requires.
And that's not hostile to either side. I'm just trying to figure out if there's an elephant kind of lurking in the
room. I understand that question, and I will say it certainly is not raised in this case, so I don't think it would be a proper basis for the court to draw a conclusion one way or the other in this case. But I do point out that in my experience with our Sex Offender Registry Act versus other states and the federal act, there are differences in those in the acts, and I have not seen an argument in any case that I have read where that the Privileges and Immunities Clause has some impact on the difference of the registration requirements. So I'll just say that. Turning to the argument at hand, it's our position that the record shows that this defendant was convicted in Idaho of sexual child abuse. It was a felony. He got 10 years to serve. The maximum for the offense was 15. He was required, in accordance with the conviction order in Idaho, to register in Idaho as a sex offender. He chose to move to Virginia. Under 9.1902F, it's our position that that code section says sexually violent offense, a violent offender, is any offense for which registration in a sex offender and crimes against minors registry is required under the laws of the jurisdiction where the offender was convicted.
May I ask you this?
Yes, Your Honor.
On that very point, wouldn't the nearest and best view of resolving this case from your perspective be, okay, the statute literally says any means any, but you don't need to rule that in this case because even if it means any substantially similar to the list we just gave, we got lots of examples of substantial similarity. We've got the carnal knowledge statute, the object sexual penetration statute, the sexual battery perpetrator is 18 years or older, the indecent liberties statute, several of them. There's a lot of analogous ground between this one offense in Idaho and many offenses in the Virginia Code.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, Your Honor, but it seems like to me that the easier way to look at this case is for the court to look at subsection F, little i, and it says if you're convicted in another jurisdiction and you're put on the Sex Offender Registry Act in that jurisdiction, when you come to Virginia, you're automatically classified as a violent offender and you're going to have to register four times a year.
You're right,
as opposed
that's
to once
easier,
a year.
But is it the narrowest and best? Because the argument the other side's making is, I see it says what it says. I can't do anything about the literal text of F2. But it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's probably not what they meant. And our response typically to those kind of arguments is there's a place to make that argument, it's not really here. But that's maybe not the narrowest and best. If the narrower and better answer is, even if they're right, the substantial similarity is a requirement, we've got it in this case.
I'll turn to that argument and say that, yes, our position would be that under 902E, that this offense was under the Idaho statute. The defendant was convicted under subsection B of that statute, which is to cause or have sexual contact with a minor, not amounting to lewd conduct. And so basically under looking at Idaho 18-1506 and 1850-08, that means having contact that's like aggravated sexual battery under 18267.3, so that there would be a touching of the breasts or the buttocks. That lewd section under 1508 talks about genitals. So we would be looking at, do we have a Virginia statute that's comparable to that? Our position is 18267.3. But I can guarantee you that other counsel is going to come up here and say that it's not the same for different reasons. So,
what about indecent liberties under 370?
Well, indecent liberties goes a little bit broader than it's that lewd question, the lewd word in 1506. And so
right,
indecent liberties is it's genital contact. And so I think so it's more like aggravated sexual battery under 18267.3, which is exactly the code section that the prosecutor named in the trial court.
But we also have 374.1, child pornography, and that's not even touching the child at all.
Well, again, I think the conviction order shows that he was convicted under 1506B, and I'm looking at page 66 of the appendix, where it says 1506B. There's only one B, other councils talked about, well, it's not just B, it's 1B. But what I'm saying is there's a B, 1B in 1506. So what is that stating? It says cause or have sexual conduct with such minor, not amounting to lewd conduct. So when you look at 1506 and 1508, then that really boils down to aggravated sexual battery. But again, I think, you know, that this is a remedial statute. It is supposed to be liberally construed to affect its purpose. Its purpose is to protect our children from sexual predators and to enable law enforcement to carry out that purpose. So when you have language in this section, as we do in 9.1902F, that says that a sexually violent offense, which is an offense which requires a defendant to register four times a year as opposed to one time a year, and it says that, and it goes on to say that means any offense where the defendant has been required to register as a sex offender in a foreign jurisdiction. That, to me, is the beginning and the end of this case. The rest of it just gets into a muddle. And given the purpose of the statute, its intent to be liberally construed, we ask that the court affirm the conviction in this case. If I have made other arguments on brief, I'm glad to go on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Whitley, you know, I've listened to your argument, and you're doing a great job on what your
Thank
concerns
you.
Are. But it seems to me your concerns are policy based, as I listen carefully, it's almost as if you don't use the word, but what you're saying is that this particular statute is absurd. It's bad policy. It doesn't work well. But the absurdity doctrine itself, though I know you haven't specifically invoked it, doesn't ask that question. What it asks is it capable of being carried out? Because I hear you saying this is bad policy, I might very well agree with you, because it is, as I think it was Justice McCullough said, a muddled mess. But is there any reason why the language of the statute, as at least I have expressed and some others have, can't be done that way?
My position, Your Honor, to that question would be the plain language prevents it of the statute. And I think that I want to make clear that that is our primary argument that we rely on Mr. Turner's behalf, is that the plain language of subsection F, when read in the context of the plain language of that definition statute, is clear that it does not require everyone who registers out of state to be classified as a sexually violent registrant here in Virginia. And I would point again, and I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but just to answer the question, one, nothing in the sexually violent offense definition under subsection E has that requirement, which I do think is significant that the legislature did not include that in the specific definition of sexually violent offense, as well as, and I see I'm running out of my time,
you,
if
you,
I can.
You keep on going.
Thank you.
Wind up when you get to that point.
As well as, and I didn't invoke the absurdity doctrine because it's such a specific doctrine, but I do think subsection F, read in the way that the Court of Appeals has proposed, is not logical, in that it would require somebody to register under all four categories. And the plain language of the statute, both from the initial categories laid out under subsection A and the clarification provided with subsection F, is simply telling out-of-state registrants, here is, of those four categories, how you have to register in Virginia. We're telling you have to register as a violent sex offender, or you don't have to register as a violent sex offender. And so it is providing that guidance to essentially the Virginia State Police at the end of the day to tell individuals such as my client, Mr. Turner, these are your registration requirements. To read it otherwise, I believe, is not the plain language of the statute. So that would be our position in answer to that.
Well, thank you for your argument.
Thank you.
The court will be in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All rise.